当时读书的情绪是怎么样。
We all know the story.
我们知道他们当时是非常的疲累。
We know at that time all the disciples are very tired.
因为他们整夜打鱼。
After whole night of fishing.
已经很辛苦了。
They were exhausted.
但是他们也有这个挫折感。
They also feel frustrated.
因为打不到鱼。
They did not catch anything.
而且早上的时候他们已经够累了，这些群众也在他们拥挤。
And there was a crowd waiting for them.
横冲直撞。
They were everywhere.
他们所需要的就是要回家睡觉。
They really want to go home and rest.
但是这些群众要求耶稣。
But the crowd demand something of Jesus.
我愿意听你的话。
We want to hear what you have to say.
耶稣说你要听我就会讲。
Jesus said, I will speak.
但是这次人太多了，他没有地方去站。
There was a big crowd there, there's no place for him to stand.
当时西门就在旁边去洗那个网，准备回家睡觉。
While Peter was ready to wash the net to go home.
那么那个船主也是一样。
Same thing with the owner of the boat.
但是耶稣跟他说一句话。
But Jesus said to them.
他说你把船稍微离岸。
Jesus told him, move the boat offshore.
因为我要跟这些群众。
Because I want to speak to the crowd.
因为他们有这个饥渴慕义的心。
They need to know. They want to know something.
他需要神的话喂养。
They want to be fed by the word of God.
所以耶稣就开始讲道。
So Jesus speak to them.
那么圣经没有讲到那篇道是什么东西。
The Bible did not record the content of what Jesus.
也许是比喻。
Maybe it's a parable.
也许是天国的福音。
Maybe it's a story of kingdom.
也许是如何做门徒。
Or how to be a disciple.
怎么样得到永生？
How to receive eternal life.
不管是讲哪一个题目，他们都会用心去听。
They were listening.
所以我们看到这些非常渴慕迫切的人呢，他愿意听耶稣的话。
We see a crowd that's hunger and thirst for Jesus' word.
那么我们今天就自己问一个问题。
I want to ask you a question.
我们有没有这种饥渴慕义的心，要追求神的话呢？
Are you coming here with hunger for God's word?
那么我不知道你的情形怎么样，我是有时候感觉到上帝好像不听我祷告。
But sometimes I often felt that that God don't hear my prayer.
我愿意跟他谈话，但是我听不到他的声音。
I want to speak to him, but I do not hear anything.
那么到底这个理由在哪里呢？
What is the reason for it?
也许我们可以看到耶稣跟比拉多的对话，可以找到一些线索。
Maybe from the conversation between Pilate and Jesus, we can find the answer.
那么比拉多有一次说，
One time Pilate tell Jesus,
你是不王？
Are you the king?
耶稣说，你说的是。
Jesus said, what you say is true.
因为我是为此而生。
He said, for this reason, I come into the world.
我来到世界上也是为真理做见证。
I come to the world to testify for the truth.
讲完以后，他加了一句话，非常令人惊讶。
After that, he added another sentence.
凡是真理的人都要听我的声音。
Jesus said, whoever on the side of the truth hears me.
这里就让我们知道，耶稣不跟我讲话，也许我不是站在真理那一边。
Could it be because we are not on the side of the truth, that's why we don't hear God's word?
也许我没有饥渴慕义的心。
Maybe I'm not coming with hunger.
我只是用宗教的礼仪去问问他。
I come here for religious reason.
那么我就知道这个 George MacDonald 就是Scottish, 就是那个苏格兰一个作者讲的一句话。
George MacDonald say a statement.
他说，我先读英文。To try to explain truth to him who loves it not is but to give him more plentiful material for misinterpretation. 他的意思是说，如果像一个不追求真理、不爱真理的人讲真理的话，我们没有什么果效，只是给他一个机会去曲解人家的话语。
To explain to the truth for someone who doesn't care for it. It's a waste of time.
那么这里我们有时候也碰到这种的经历。
We all have this experience.
在我的多年前在财经班里面就有一个朋友，他是问题最多的。
Several years ago, I have a friend in the Bible study who has a lot of questions.
但是他问来问去就是那几个。
But always a similar kind of question.
好像没有一个意愿要把这些答案记在心中，然后反复思想。
Somehow the answer never stay in his heart or catch up.
所以对这种人呢，我们只能等待圣灵的感动与带领。
with these people who can really only wait for the work of the Holy Spirit.
那么也许耶稣不跟我们说啊，还有另外一个原因。
Maybe there's another reason that why we don't hear Jesus' words.
有一次耶稣就被带到公会里面去。
One time, Jesus was taken into the Sanhedrin.
但是在还没有审判以前呢，这个祭司长跟全公会呢，就自己跟自己有点讨论。
Before that, all the members of the Sanhedrin had a big discussion.
我们知道这个公会呢，就是犹太人的最高法庭。
Sanhedrin was the highest court of the Jewish people.
那么在美国这个司法制度是这样子。
In the legal system in United States.
就是说你一个人你不能判断他有罪，除非你有证据。
Unless you have evidence, you really cannot convict a person.
你不能先假设他有罪，你一定有证据。
You cannot assume that he is guilty. You got to have evidence.
但是不是每一个国家都是这样子。
It's not true in every country.
也许在中国不是这样子，我不知道。但是有些国家呢，就是先定你有罪，然后你自己去证明你没有罪。
It may not be the case in China, but in a lot of countries, you must have evidence before.
但是现在公会呢，还没有耶稣还没有讲话，也没有开始审判，他们就说，我们要找证据去定他的罪。
So Jesus was silent then, but the Sanhedrin was looking for evidence to convict him.
那有一个人就说，我们用什么方法知道，我们可以把他治死呢？
They are looking for reason to put Jesus to death.
那么有些人就把证据呈上去。
So some people presented evidence.
但是圣经说这些证据都前后不符的。
But these evidence are contradictory.
也有人说啊，这个人就是说，我三天又把圣殿拆下来，圣殿拆下来，然后三天又把它重建。
Someone said that I heard him speak about destroy the temple in 3 days.
但是他讲的也不是跟耶稣的完全符合，而且有点曲解。
But that was not exactly what Jesus meant.
所以呢，他们的见证是假的。
So there are many false testimonies.
那么大祭司就站起来了。
So finally the high priest speak stood up.
就像耶稣说。
He asked Jesus.
这些人都在控告你，你有什么话讲呢
？There are so many people speak about you. What do you say for yourself?
但是耶稣一言不语。
Still, Jesus remained quiet.
为什么耶稣不讲话呢
？Why doesn't Jesus speak?
因为人已经把假证据呈上去。
Because they present so much false evidence about him.
他们知道他们所呈上去的是一种谎言。
They know they are lying.
但是他们不承认这个很明显的事实。
But they would deny the truth.
在这种情形之下呢，真理跟诚实就好像上网了，上网。
Under the situation, the truth died. Right.
然后耶稣就说，我还有什么可以话讲呢？
Jesus,
所以他就沉默不言。
That's why Jesus was silent.
那么这个跟我们的生活有什么关系呢
？So what does it do with our everyday?
我们虽然没有像这些公会的人那么坏，所以要把耶稣祭死。
We are not so bad that the members of the Sanhedrin want to put Jesus to death.
但是多少的时间呢？我们自己已经有个意念。
But so very very often we already make up our mind.
但是我们还是求耶稣去容许。
What about we still ask for God's granting us?
那么在这种情形之下，耶稣知道你是明明知道神的旨意是怎么样，但是你还是要求问。
Under that situation, Jesus know you already make up your mind, but you are still asking.
今天早上在我教会里面就查考查经班就查考叫巴兰的故事。
This morning we study a story in the Old Testament.
巴兰就是这样的，他明知道这个不是神要他做的事情。
巴拉。
爸不要容许他做的事情。
He want to do something that God would not allow him to do.
但是他还是要做，因为他贪财。
Because of his love for wealth, he want to do it.
结果上帝说好了，你就去了。
Then God finally said, "Go ahead."
所以我们今天的生活应用就是说，我们要明白神的旨意。
If we want to see God's will,
但是神的旨意不一定符合你的旨意。
It may not be something that you wanted.
但是只要是神的旨意，我们就要诚诚实实的遵循。
If we know it is God's will, we must obey completely.
所以第一个原则，我们今天学到就是我们一定要有这个真实、诚实的心，对渴慕上帝的话语。
So the first thing that we learn is that we must come to Him hunger and thirst for His words.
当我们有这种的心态的时候，上帝就跟我们说话。
With this attitude, God will speak to us.
就好像上帝对那个群众说话的一样。
Just as Jesus decided to speak to the crowd.
那么耶稣讲完道以后，大家门徒已经很疲累了。
So after the sermon, everybody was tired.
但是每个人都想回家睡觉。
While everybody can't wait to go home.
但是耶稣有另外一个主意。
But Jesus have another thing he wanted to do, idea.
那么这个耶稣就说，好，我们去钓鱼吧。
Jesus said, let's go fishing.
那么昨天晚上已经钓不到，耶稣突然间说要钓鱼。
All night they have worked, but Jesus told them.
他就吩咐西门彼得把船开到水深之处。
So he told Peter to take the boat to the deep parts of the lake.
那么彼得就没有办法，就出去了。
So Peter can obey him.
其他的同伴就出去了。
So they all went out to the lake.
那么所有的门徒就觉得非常的烦恼。
So they are all feel frustrated.
但是他也不敢出声。
But nobody complained.
但是他们每个人就你看我一眼，我看你一眼。
They look at each other and then they go.
虽然没有讲出来，他说，看这个耶稣，他真是不平凡的教师，这个是不错。
They must be saying that he is a ordinary teacher.
Extraordinary.
Extraordinary.
但是他的话语也让我们能够被迷住。
But he also confused us.
No, spellbound us.
Oh, spellbound.
Yeah, okay. 但是在这个宗教的事情上呢，他可以难倒我们。
In many religious things, he bewildered us.
但是在打鱼方面，你至少给我们一点尊敬吧。
But at least on the thing of fishing, show us some respect.
因为我们是专业的打鱼人呢。
We are professional fishermen.
我们知道打鱼最好的时间就是晚上，而且到潜水的地方。
And because the best time is two at night in the shadow end.
但是耶稣，你刚刚相反，你叫我们在这个光天白日的时候，把船开到水深之处。
In the noonday, you tell us to go to the deep.
那你是不是要我们给其他的同伴嘲笑我们呢
？You make us to be jeered by others.
Yeah, 所以，然后，这个西门彼得说，好了，我们整夜就要他出声了，我们整夜劳碌，我们都打不到鱼。但是你现在要我去，好了，我就勉强去一下吧。
Finally, Peter spoke up. He said, "We work all night without result, but since you ask us to do so, we will obey you."
那彼得就把这个网，刚刚洗好的网，就举起来丢在海上面。
The net he just washed, he cast again into the lake.
在海底下发生一个很大的神奇。
There's a great miracle happened.
每一条鱼好像在开会。
So that all the fish come for a meeting.
就说我们好不好有一个比赛，看看哪一个会跳到网里面。
Everybody coming to the net.
所以啊，他们的收获就非常的大。
The catch was so big.
这里我们学到一个功课。
Here we learn a lesson.
就是我们基督徒的生活最重要就是顺服神。
The most important lesson we must learn is that we must obey.
那这些门徒呢，虽然是心不太服，但是他们还是顺服神。
Although they are not content with what Jesus said, they decide to obey him.
那我觉得这个也是可以。
I think this is a good idea.
因为我们的意念，刚刚弟兄讲，我们的意念没有神的意念那么高。
Because our will is not higher than God.
他想到的东西，我们不一定想得到。
His thought is higher than
God. 有时候以我们的脑筋觉得这个不对。
Even though sometimes we don't think that is right.
但是我们相信上帝是全能全知，他比我更聪明。
Because we believe in a great and almighty God.
那么就好嘛，我们就顺服你嘛。
So
我相信
we will obey him.
这个也是神所喜悦的。
This is something that's pleasing to him.
那么这个顺服来讲呢，基督徒觉得是理所当然。
To submit to God is natural for us.
但是对于一个无神论者所说，这是一个很想不开的事情。
But to an atheist, that is a very difficult thing.
那么上个世纪那个有个德国的哲学家尼采。
There's a German philosopher, Nietzsche.
他说你们基督教的文化就是一个奴仆的文化。
He said the Christian culture is a culture of slavery.
你们就强调顺服，顺服，顺服。
You always talk about submission.
So, 那这样顺服。 这种呢会把一个国家带到一个软弱的地位。
That will bring a country to a position of weakness.
也把人类的自由通通夺去。
Also deprive people of freedom.
那么我们知道这个希特勒是二次大战的罪魁。
We also know Hitler is the.
他受这个。
Yeah, he's an evil person. World War II.
他受这个尼采的思想非常的深。
He was greatly influenced by that philosophy.
他就利用尼采的哲学思想，要产生一个叫 final solution， 就是一个最后的办法，去铲除现在犹太人。
So with that idea, with that philosophy, he started the idea of a final solution to the Jewish.
因为犹太人是相信十诫。
Jewish people are people who believe.
也相信他们要顺服耶和华。
A group of people who obey God.
所以呢，他要铲除他们。
That's why he wants to eradicate them.
如果能够把犹太人铲除以后，第二批就是基督徒。
If he can completely eliminate them, next group will be the Christians.
这样子呢，他们的国家就不会软弱。
So the country will be strong.
他们就产生一个超人的国度。
A national superman will create.
但是历史就告诉我们了。
But history tells us.
二次世界是一个所有人类历史当中最血腥最重的一个世纪。
World War II is one of the most bloody events in human history.
但是尼采跟希特勒就是有点他看不见。
Hitler and Nietzsche, he doesn't see it.
因为我们所顺服的不是人。
Because what we submit to is not a man.
我们所顺服的乃是上帝。
We are submitting to God.
上帝是个全知全能。
All knowing, all powerful God.
而且他一个最聪明的上帝。
He is also the most intelligent.
最良善的上帝。
Most kind.
最圣洁的上帝。
Most holy.
如果这种的上帝，我们怎么可以不顺服呢？
To this kind of God.Can we not submit?
所以我们基督教的顺服乃是建立在神的属性上面。
We submit because of who he is.
但是这个顺服的道理，耶稣给我们做一个非常好的榜样。
Here, Jesus gave us a very good example.
在腓立比书他说
，In book of Philippians,
他谦卑自己。
Jesus humbled himself.
取了奴仆的形象。
Take on the likeness of a servant.
来到世界上为我们罪钉在十字架上。
To die on, in the world.
因为他顺服他的父亲，天上的父亲。
He submit to his heavenly father.
也让我们因此能够蒙福。
Because of that, we are all blessed.
有一个大主教，他的名字叫 William Temple.
There's a great high priest called William Temple.
Bishop. Yeah. 他说 ，Worship is the submission of all our nature to God.他说我什么叫敬拜，他给敬拜下一个定义。
What's the meaning of worship?
敬拜就是我们的灵，我们的魂，我们的体，我们的每一部分都降服在上帝的面前。
To worship is to surrender every part of us, mind, body and spirit to God.
但是我们知道这个顺服也有三个层面。
We also there are three dimensions to the idea of submission.
不信主的人也会顺服上帝的，知道吗？
Even an unbeliever can submit to God.
他说我顺服上帝，如果上帝的旨意跟我的旨意是一样。
Atheist said that I'll submit to God if his idea is my idea.
但是有些不好的基督徒也顺服神。
Many Christian also believe that submit to God.
他要走自己的道路，但是做到一个好像他走神的道路一样。
He wants to do it his way, because his way make it look like God's way.
但是最好的基督徒是怎么样啊？
But a true Christian.
知道这个是神的旨意。
We know this is God's way.
知道这个旨意行出来对我有不利。
We know this way may not be what I wanted.
我要付代价。
I might have to pay a price.
但是因为是上帝的旨意。
But because it's God's will.
所以我要顺服。
Therefore, I will obey.
所以我们来到今天讲题的第二个原则。
I want to come to the second factor in this sermon.
我们的经验是很重要的，这个否则。
Our experience are very important. Nobody can deny it.
你想想看，这个西门彼得，耶稣说，你去把网撒在海上。
When Jesus told Simon to cast the net into the deep end,
我们听起来很轻松。
We think this is simple.
我叫你把这个网撒在海里面，我想中间没有一个人可以。
If I ask you cast the net, we will probably no big deal.
这个网是非常重的。
It is a heavy net.
而且你一丢下去了，就要把它藏起来。
Once you cast, you don't want to make sure you don't in.
这个是需要经验的。
It takes experience.
神不需要我们，不是思想，不去用我们的精力。
God did not ask not to use our mind.
因为这些东西都是上帝所赏赐给我们的。
These are all experience God gave us.
但是上帝告诉我们
，But God tell us，
你不要依靠你的经历。
Don't solely depend on your experience.
你不要依靠你的能力。
Don't solely depend on your.
我们做工程师的，我们知道有时候好像就有问题来了，就我们就去找同伴啊，找同事啊，好像我们依靠别人，依靠自己的聪明。
Very often, as in engineering, we look for partners and ourselves to find solutions.
后来发现我们还是要靠上帝。
But in the end, we also realize we need to depend on God.
我在 IBM 做事就有这个经历。
I have this experience in IBM.
因为有些program, OK, 就是有些东西呢，要整个晚上用这些计算机来算的。
Sometimes we spend all night calculating a number.
算到以后呢，最后早上。就产生一个 signature， 就是一个好像一百个数字的一连串的结果。
Finally, in the morning, we got a series of numbers.
只要一个数字错，你的东西就不对。
If there is one number in error, the whole thing is no good.
那么对我来讲是非常紧张的 ，OK？
For me, this is nerve-wracking.
我真的那个时候没有办法了。要祷告晚上。
I feel completely hopeless, so I pray.
尽我的能力做得好，但是我们没有把握，又那么长的数字，要每一个都对，这个是不简单的。
We did all we can, but to make sure all the number is right.
但是好几次神就听我的祷告。
So many times.
就是一直对，哎，全部对 ，OK。
God grant my.
但是这种情形之下，我真的经历到非靠上帝不可。
That's why I know in the end I still have to depend on Him.
那么打鱼的时候呢，结果这个就缺了很多的鱼。
They caught so many fish.
那么他们就要拉上来。
So they were pulling the net.
这个船已经快沉下去了。
And the boat was in danger of sinking.
拉也拉不动了。
They couldn't get it.
所以西门彼得叫他同伴来帮忙。
So the Simon called up to his companion to help.
结果有两只船，所有的鱼都通通满了。
So all two boats come to help them.
这里我们停下来思想一下。
Let's stop and think about it.
你看这些法律的专家啊，文士、法利赛人、撒杜盖人。
All these people who are expert in law, Sadducees and Pharisees.
如果我们看到四福音的话，我们发现在他们生命当中很少看到神迹的。
We see in their life they seldom witness miracles.
他们对圣经很熟。
They know about the Bible.
但是为什么没有神迹？
How come there's no miracle in their time?
奇迹在他们生命当中。
They never experience miracle.
因为他们不敬畏上帝。
Because they do not fear God.
但是这些渔夫呢？
How about
他们也没有读了很多书，但是也看到上帝的作为。
But yet these uneducated fishermen, they see God's work.
如果你是西门彼得的，如果我是西门彼得的话，我会这样子做。
If I'm Simon Peter, I would probably react this way.
我说我会拿一个一张纸来，要跟耶稣签一个合同。
I would ask Jesus to sign a contract with me.
我说耶稣，你不要做很多，每个月只有一次，每次五分钟，你来到码头前帮我打鱼就好了。
I would just you come here once every month for 5 minutes, help me fishing.
但是西门彼得没有这样做。
But that's not what Peter's reaction.
为什么呢？因为他发现这个耶稣是一个非常圣洁的上帝。
He discovered something holy about Jesus.
他是与众不同的。
There's something unearthly.
所以他第一个反应呢，不是要耶稣跟他签合同。
He is now asking Jesus to sign some sort of contract.
而是他跪下来。
He kneeled down.
敬拜他。
He worshipped him.
而且感觉到非常的不舒服。
He was in completely unease.
然后他说了一句话，我们很难了解。
He made a statement that which is difficult to understand.
他说：“耶稣，离开我，离开我。
”He said, "Stay away from me."
因为我是一个罪人。
Because I'm a sinner.
Yeah. 那西门泰的两个儿子约翰、雅各也听到。
All his brothers and his company hear this.
也觉得非常的惊讶。
They were all surprised.
但是我们现在回来看看耶稣的一生，他的作为是怎么样。
Let's look back at Jesus' life.
耶稣不管跑到哪里去，都是有一大群人围绕着他。
Wherever he goes, a crowd follows him.
这个大麻风的人说：“耶稣，可怜我吧，可怜我吧。” Have mercy on me, leper.
The leper always tell him, Jesus, have mercy on me.
那么有一个患了十二年血漏的女人，也是拼命挤在人群当中，要摸上帝的衣服，耶稣的衣服。
The woman who suffered from blood also tried to get to Jesus.
那么有一个强盗钉在他的一边的时候，也求主去纪念他。
Even a robber on the cross asked Jesus to remember him.
所以不管是群众，也不管是罪人，他们都很喜欢靠近耶稣。
Every the crowd, they all want to come near to Jesus.
但是彼得做一件事情刚刚跟他们相反。
But Peter make a statement that's just contrary to what they did.
他说离开我吧，离开我吧。
He said leave me, Jesus.
那么到底是有什么道理在里面呢？
Why is he saying that?
那么我现在说一个故事。
I want to tell you a story.
多年前有一个很有名气的打高尔夫球的球星。
He's a pretty famous golfer.
他被邀请到做一个四人一组的对抗赛。
He was invited to join a foursome of golf game.
然后那其他三个人是谁呢？
No, what are the other three?
一个就是福特总统。
One is President Ford.
一个是当时有名的 Jack。Nicholas 打高最有名的
yeah, one Jack Nicholas.
Jack Nicholas 另外一个就是 Billy Graham 郭培里博士
and the fourth person is Billy Graham
那么他就很兴奋了啊，这个 Nicholas 我以前跟他打过球 但是总统啊跟总统打球是特别的荣耀
that was the first time he can get the president play ball get the president
那么跟从美国有名的 Billy Graham 牧师打高我也是一个荣幸。
Yeah, it would be a great honor to play golf with Billy Graham.
但是打完球以后
after the game,
所以他就离开这里。
He left.
而且他大发牢骚。
He was very unhappy.
还用粗口一直走，一直骂。
He was just cursing.
然后一直跑得很快，跑到他那练学习练发球那个地方。
So he ran back to where he practiced.
然后他又用他那个打高尔夫球那个棍子大力很大力的把这个高尔夫球打出去
so he was whacking the golf ball with frustration
他是怒气冲冲但是他好像要用这种方法来射击
he was very furious
那么他的朋友觉得很奇怪为什么会这样子就跟着他跑
so his friend was wondering that they follow him and ask him
然后也不讲话
But he stayed silent.
那么等了十五分钟，他的怒气过后以后
，After his fury subsided，
他说，Billy Graham 怎么会得罪你啊？
哦、，How did Billy Graham offend you？
他说，我本来以为是他把这个宗教、这个耶稣这些事情印塞在我的脑子里面。
I don't need him to stop me with all the religious stuff.
但是我想想看，他根本没有这样子做。
But the fact that Billy Graham did not.
但是我一见到他，我就好像看到神的人一样。
But when I was in his presence, I felt that I was in the presence of God.
所以我想这个，但是事实上呢，菲利根根本没有讲跟他讲过福音。
The fact that Billy Graham did not share the gospel.
也没有提到宗教的事情。
Nor did he mention anything religious.
但是他看到他就好像碰到一个很圣洁的人一样。
But in Billy Graham's presence, he would feel holiness.
所以我是想到，这个人对戈培里牧师这种态度呢，岂不是跟彼得对耶稣的态度一样吗
？This reaction is very similar to what Peter's reaction is.
多年前有一个不信上帝的人就问一个牧师。
Several years ago, there's an unbeliever coming to a pastor.
他说这个记得了那么杀了那么多人。罪大恶极，他也就进地狱。
He said a great murderer like Hitler going to hell.
但是我只是不信上帝，我也要进地狱。
I'm a mere unbeliever and I'm going to end up in the same place.
你觉得这个公平吗
？Do you think this is fair?
那么这个牧师就是 Archibald 他用了一个比喻。
The pastor gave him a parable.
他说，比方这个这里，到这里啊，是一个圣洁的尺度。
He said, from there to here is the area of holiness.
这边是非常圣洁的上帝在这边。
God is the holy God on the other side.
那这个是非常邪恶的希特勒在那边。
The evil Hitler on the other side.
但是保罗放在哪里呢？
Where do you put Paul?
他叫保罗放在离希特勒蛮远的地方。
Paul is put a distance from Hitler.
那么我们呢，就放在希特勒跟保罗的中间。
So maybe we are in between Hitler and Paul.
还是靠近保罗多一点。
Maybe a little bit closer to Paul.
但是当我们回首一看，看着神的圣洁的时候，是看了几千万里那么远。
If we turn around to see the holiness of God so far away.
所以我们跟希特勒那个邪恶的程度了，在整个上帝圣洁的尺度里面差不了多少。
In the whole scheme of God's holiness, we are as vile as He too.
这个也是我们可以了解的。
This is something maybe we can understand.
我们当中，我都相信大家都是好人。
I believe most of us are decent folk.
也没有坐过牢，也没有犯过错。
None of us been to jail.
但是我告诉你一件事情，有时候我们不做很邪恶的事情，因为我们没有遇到那种情形。
We did not commit great evil because we are not in position to.
我即使年轻的时候就有这样的一个经历。
I have this experience when I was young.
你们看，我都至少不是说一个很恶的人吧。
You are the very evil person.
但是那个时候我去读一个 PhD degree 的课程。
I was a PhD candidate then.
那么那个教授是一个老中从北京来的。
My professor is from China.
我进去的时候我是准备学这个 solid state physics， 就是固态物理学。
I want to study solid state physics.
但是这个中国教授呢很喜欢我，他要我一定要到他那边去学。
This Chinese professor liked me. He want me to go to his department.
那么其他的中国同学都说千万不要去，千万不要去。
A lot of my friends tell me not to go.
那我是很幼稚。
I was kind of
我说也没有什么嘛，因为教授就不对我怎么样。
He said he's a nice guy.
结果我就去了。
So I decided to
他是学这个material science， 就是物质方面的。
He's a professor in material
science. 我个人喜欢这个理论物理学的。
I like theoretical.
但是我就心很软，他一直叫我去，一直叫我去，我就去了。
Because his invitation, I decided to join him.
去的时候发现他学的东西是完全是 experimental， 就是用实验要做的。
He's doing a lot of experimental things.
那么我第一个礼拜周末我就跟同学去玩。
The first weekend I went out to with my friend.
回来我没有想到这个北京来的教授就说一直找我，然后骂我。我说你为什么去玩呢？你应该在实验室那边做事情。
When I come back, the professor was very angry. He said, "Why are you not in the lab?"
那么我实在是没有办法了。
Afterward, I cannot bear.
我受不了了。
I cannot take it.
你知道我晚上好几个晚上做了一个什么梦吗？
Every night I have a nightmare.
我做梦把一个刀要杀他。
I'm going to murder him.
后来我做了基督徒以后，我知道了。
After I become a Christian,
我不是一个谋杀人，但是我因为没有碰到那种机会。
I realized that just did not have get a chance to.
我在梦中所做的事情不是假的，是真的，真实的。我真的有刀，真的会把他宰掉。
I really would kill him.
但是我还是觉得聪明，一脚就马上离开了。
Finally, I got to mine.
有一个美国人留了他五六年、七年，他知道他走不了，就继续去留他，结果他化了神经。
There's an American craftsman who was stuck and he finally went crazy.
那么这里我们就看到一个真理。
We see a truth here.
我们知道耶稣是我们恩友。
We know Jesus is our best friend.
耶稣也有慈爱怜悯。
He is someone who are full of grace.
我们也是叫称他为阿爸父。
We also call him our Abba Father.
但是有时候我们爱耶稣爱得太多，变成有点轻浮无礼。有没有这个经历？
Sometimes when we might become too familiar with him.
有时候我们唱歌好像唱情歌一样。
We sing him.
这些都是很好，也不要误会我。但是有时候我们 太过轻浮的时候，我们忘记他是上帝。
Sometimes we become too frivolous. We think we forgot that he is the holy God.
我们忘记他是圣洁的。
We forgot that he is holy.
所以当我们了解什么是圣洁的时候，
Once we know what is holiness,
我们就更加对我们罪恶深重这个教义的更加了解。
We will become more aware of our own sinfulness.
有时候我们对上帝没有礼貌，是因为我们没有停下来想想他到底有圣多么的圣洁。
Sometimes we did not realize how holy God is.
有一件事情我是算是喜欢天主教的。
I really prefer Catholic.
不是在教义方面，有一件事情方面。
There's one aspect of Catholic.
当你进到这个天主教的圣所以后呢，你发现你不敢信他也好，不信他好，自动就是一种安静感。
Because every time you went to a Catholic sanctuary, there's a sense of holiness.
Yeah. 所以呢，你就不敢出声。
You are stay quiet.
有一种敬畏的心。
There's a feeling of.
也许这个也是我们基督教应该学习的一个地方。
Maybe this is something our church lacks.
所以第三个原则，我们今天学到就是我们在生活当中又有一个平衡的态度。
We must in our daily life a balanced approach to God.
一方面我们很爱神，
One aspect we love him.
我们亲近他，他也喜欢我们亲近他。
We want to come close to him and he wants to draw close to
us. 但是另外一方面，我们不会忘记他就是神。
At the same time, we must remember he is the mighty God.
他是圣洁的。
He is the holy God.
然后现在我们回到这个故事。
Let's go back to that story.
那么西门彼得敬拜了神以后呢，耶稣就说：“你们慢慢洗这个碗吧，我有事情做，我要走。”
After Peter worshipped Jesus, Jesus left him.
但是西门彼得这些鱼都不要了。
But Peter decided to forsake all the fish.
这些鱼只不过是世界上物质的东西。
These are all the great material wealth.
但是他要跟随耶稣。
Peter decided to follow Jesus.
Follow Jesus 这个字非常好。
Follow Jesus is very good.
这个就跟随耶稣这个字是新约是福音。一个很重要的字眼。
Follow Jesus is a very important phrase in the Bible.
有时候我们说什么叫门徒呢？
What is a disciple?
有些人说啊，门徒就是你首先是信徒，然后慢慢长进就变成门徒。
Disciple is somebody who believe.
这个信徒就是 Christian first, and then 变成门徒。
And then you become disciple.
但是如果你把门徒这个字再从圣经新约一看呢，发现不是这样子。
But if you look carefully into the meaning of disciple, that is not the case.
有时候是这样子。
Sometimes it might seem that.
有时候好像这个要求是非常严厉。
But sometimes the requirement for disciple seems to be very
high. 要恨你的父母亲，恨你的弟兄姐妹，来跟随我。
You must not love the world, you must not love your family.
但是有时候一个大群众，他们相信了。耶稣称他们做门徒。
Very often Jesus called a lot of the crowd.
所以我觉得这个门徒有一个双重的意义。
They are maybe two meaning to the meaning of disciple.
就是一个已经跟上位 already but not yet. 一个观念就是 already but not yet. 就是一个已经了，但是
还没有达到。
我觉得这个观念是很重要。当我们一信耶稣的时候，我们已经是门徒了。
When we believe, we are a disciple.
但是如果我们忽略到上位，就是 not yet already 呢，我们就会有一个问题出现。
We have not yet achieved what we are.
那么我们就说，我们已经是门徒了，我就停留在这个地方就可以了。
Sometimes we say we are disciple.
结果我们的灵命就没有长进。
That's when our growth stops.
但是我们如果想到我们已经是门徒，但是我们还不是门徒，那么我是有长进的。
But if we realize we are already a disciple, but yet not yet of what we can be and we can grow.
所以这个 not yet 就是去一生在跟随耶稣的意思。
To be not yet is to follow him all our life.
但是如果我们忽略到已经，光是注重在上位这个观念上面呢，我们就落在一个叫靠功德取得救的地步。
If we are content with what we already have and not what we have yet to achieve, we might become stagnant.
就我们就好像不是靠恩典得救。
We are going to be depend on our good work.
变成靠我们的 good work 了。所以我们应该做基督的门徒了，应该有两方面就平衡。
So there should be a balance in our Christian growth.
一方面就是我们已经是上帝的门徒。
On one aspect, we are already his disciple.
但是另一方面我们还没有得到他的标准。
In the other side, we have not yet achieved what God wants.
所以我们靠着恩典成为他的门徒。
So by grace, we become his disciple.
也靠着恩典，我们可以一生追随他。
So also by grace, we will follow him.
顺服他一切的旨意。
Submit him. Submit to him in everything.
那耶稣的旨意是怎么样呢？
So what is Jesus' will for us?
耶稣说，你们先求他的国，他的义，一切都要加给你们。
Jesus said, seek first the God's kingdom.
所以啊，我们知道他的旨意就是要我们追寻求他的国度，他的义。
So we know God's will for us is to seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness.
有一个问题我不知道你们有没有想过，是蛮有趣的。
That's a very interesting question.
他就是说，如果你们脑筋上不想什么东西的时候，你到底在想什么东西？
A question is that if you are not thinking at all, what are you thinking about?
其实我们，如果你去回答这个问题，我们不可以不思想的。
You cannot help not to think if you are trying to think about this question.
但是问题就是说，如果你不想的时候，你想什么东西呢？那个就是反照你的世界观。
So if you are not thinking, what are you thinking of?
所以我们就可以对我们的世界观有一个测验。
From that we can try to see our world view.
那么我们不想的时候，我们是不是自然然就想世界的事情呢？还是在天上的事情？
If we are not thinking, are we thinking of the thing of the world or thing of God?
这个就是给我们一个很好的反省。
This is something for you to think about.
那么 C.S. Lewis 说过一句话。
C.S. Lewis said, you are.
他说你是一个灵魂，你就是一个灵魂，但是你不过你有一个身体。
C.S. Lewis said that you are a soul, but you have a body.
所以我们想到我们一个人，你可以尽量追求世界的名利。
We can seek all the material things in the world.
那么世界的财富也不是中性的，不是一个坏的。
The material thing of the world is neutral, is not bad.
就看你的先后次序是怎么样。
It's all depend on your priority.
但是不管怎么样，最后我们人离开世界的时候，只有两件事情留下来。
In the end, when we come to the end of our life, there's only two things left.
一个就是我们的灵魂。
One is your soul.
一个就是我们跟主的关系。
One is the relationship you have with God.
最后就是这两件事情。决定我们的永生。
That two things was beside your eternal destination.
然后彼得跟耶稣敬拜以后，他说：“离开我吧。”耶稣给他一个永恒的使命。
After Peter worshipped Christ and said, "Leave me, Lord," Jesus gave him a mission.
所以，就是你要得人如得鱼一样。
Jesus told him that you will be fisher of men from now on.
所以这里看到我们不管你做什么工作，最后的目标就是要把人带到上帝的面前，使他们得救。
No matter what our occupation is, in the end, our mission is to bring people to Christ.
所以我们第四个原则我们就学到了，就是我们如果真是看到上帝的话，这个世界的财富是不重要，让我们。常常思念上面的事。
If we can conclude that if we realize that the thing of the world is not that important.
那么我们今天讲了四个原则。
We point out four factors.
那原则好像是一种道理。
Four principles.
但是我们要把这些道理呢变成我们生活的应用。
We want to.Utilize this principle become part of our life.
所以我可以说，把这个原则变成一种祷告。
So these principles should become our prayer.
第一个祷告就是我们祈求上帝给我们一个爱他话语的心。
First, we pray that God will give us the love for His word.
第二个祷告就是求神帮助我们，让我们有个顺服他旨意的心。
Secondly, we want to pray that God give us a submissive heart to Him.
第三个祷告就是上帝给我们一个智慧，让我们知道你是圣洁的。
Thirdly, we ask God for wisdom so we can see that He is holy.
最后求上帝给我们一个永恒的眼光。
Finally, we ask God for eternal perspective.
先求他的国跟他的义。
So we will seek first His kingdom and His righteousness.
上帝也会照着他的应许，让我们生活当中有供应。
And by His promise, all these things that He will be given to us as well.
我们低头祷告。天父，我们谢谢你。
Father, we thank you.
把今天这个福音这个故事隐藏在我们心中。
But you open this story to our heart.
让我们思想你今天给我们的信息。
That we can meditate on the lesson that you want to teach us.
让我们渴慕你的话语。
We long for your word.
成为一个顺病的儿女。
We want to become a submissive children.
把神当作神看待。
We want to treat you as a holy God.
最后给我们一个很远的眼光，就是永恒的眼光。
Give us an eternal perspective.
帮助我们。
Help us.
祷告靠主的圣经的圣灵。
We pray all this in Jesus' name.